Yeah, I know it kind of sounds like some people who may be listening, it may sound like we're un-American, like we're commies or something, but that's not true. Our government are commies. They're Bolsheviks. And you don't need to look any further than the Communist Manifesto. You don't need to look any further than the policies implemented the last 10 years, or the last 30 years, the last 100 years. And as I said, if it looks like a Zionist and it smells like a Zionist, it is a central banker. And central banks who caused every boom, every bust. They fund both sides of every war. And so we're not un-American. And I say God bless Americans.
Oh, God bless Americans indeed.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home. 'Cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Hey, welcome to Against the Wall this morning. It is freaking cold in upstate New York, brother, let me tell you. It's the bone-chilling kind of cold. It's 0 degrees, and it feels like 0 degrees. There's no wind. Like, secondhand, it is... I mean, who's deciding who our enemies are? Why aren't we? I know you are, and I am myself. I'm waiting for Jules to give me the bio for the new the Acelli effect. Okay, here we go. I'm going to plug our new show coming up, because I have noticed he's listened to my radio show and he's been in the chat room. So hey. Charles, or Chuck. The new show is the Acelli Effect. A journey of discovery, raising awareness to the true psychosocial realities that we as a population endure. Sharply focused on the appalling truth of the alternative media and the enthralling lies of the mainstream. Challenging both. Chuck Acelli. Oops. Chuck Acelli, a.k.a. the blind JFK researcher, can be found on YouTube and elsewhere, presents an honest and unique perspective backed by decades of deep political, geosocial, and cultural trends research. As a radio guest, providing countless hours of research for other authors, contributing to various media projects under others, along with a life story, that when presented to publishers as an autobiography, prompted responses, including, did this really happen? How are you still alive? I would say, oh, snap, sounds like me. I tell people my life story, and they're like, holy crap, dude, most of that's a lie. You can't have done all that. All that can't have happened to you. And prompted friends in the alternative media circles to be the media and make his unfiltered voice heard. That's Charles Acelli, the Acelli Effect. That would be, now I don't know what time the show is, but I know it's tonight. I'm really not the greatest promoter, plugger. I try to plug everybody when I can. I try to make sure that, look, man, I have a little tiny, small, tiny ego just like everybody else, but I also realize that I'm just a dot. I'm just a dot, you know. When you're looking at the grand scheme of things, you're just a dot. And if you can't coalesce with other dots, that's all you'll ever be, is just a dot. So, let's see. I was going to try to... Oh, 8 p.m. Oh, Saturday night. Duh. That's right. I'm sorry. Saturday. Yeah. Before, before after the last cup. 8 o'clock till 10. 8 till 10 Eastern, Saturdays. But if you can get on right now, I'll bring you on for a few minutes and you can fill everybody in on what your show's gonna be like, if you even know. I mean, that's another thing. It's so hard to sit there. I can dig up my very first, like, archive from Orion Radio, or even earlier, Donna, if you're listening, please forgive me for not remembering the name of your network, but I did it even a few earlier shows that were I'm the first to admit, man, when you first start doing the show, they're barely listenable. People listen because they're your friend. All right. And it takes a minute sometimes, before you're in full operational, you know, mode, before you have full operational capacity. And that, a lot of it has to do with, you know, new equipment, you know, just better delivery. A lot of it has to do with the butterflies in your tummy. After a while, you don't get nervous. I still suck, some would say. But yeah, I really, well, you know, and here's the deal is when you start telling people what your show is going to be like, it's not going to be like that unless you're only going to do a few shows. Because that, you know, at first I was going to only, my show was only going to be, as I said, because I only did one a week, so it was 2 hours, and I made the point that I was going to make my shows just an essay, a 2-hour essay every week, which I did for a while, but that, you know, how many truthers does it take to screw in the Federal Reserve? How many times do you have to be told the story of Jekyll Island? Or how many times, you know, how many different truthers or patriots have to tell you about the Second Amendment before, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, over time, obviously, here I am 3-4 years later, hundreds and hundreds of shows under my belt. I do things slightly differently. I'm actually going to add Charles to the show right now, and we'll visit for a few minutes. I've never met him, so let's see how this goes. I'm calling. There we go, Charles.
Hey.
Well, hello there. Allow me to introduce myself, James Freeland, also known as JJ Inc., host of Against the Wall, and your show. You have a new show. This is Charles Ocelli. Is that how you pronounce it?
Ocelli, yeah.
That Ocelli.
The Ocelli effect. Wow, I was really just sitting here lounging, so I didn't know I'd be on, but...
Nah, we'll just talk for a couple of minutes. Charles Ocelli, obviously this isn't your first endeavor into, you know, this sort of thing. You've been guests on other shows, you've been an activist and a blogger, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I did the web TV, web TV, that's funny. I did the YouTube thing for a little bit. Started out on web TV a long time ago. That was pretty funny. But wasn't known for anything until I started doing the videos there separately. But I was contributing to other people's work, mostly on the JFK assassination. But, you know, that led me into all kinds of other areas.
Once you get in, doesn't matter where you start. 9/11, OKC, Ruby Ridge, JFK, Pearl Harbor, 1913, Jekyll Island. You find yourself just embroiled and it all ties in.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's that whole thing that, you know, a lot of people like to bring up in the, I don't know what to call it, the truther sphere, I guess, you know, about the JFK community. And the Fed and all that. And, that's where it really led me into some strange places. And, yeah, that's how it basically happened. And, you know, all the stuff I've done in the past is really going to have nothing to do with my own particular voice. So, you know, but I just love your show because, Yeah, you see from my bio, it does sound a little like you, doesn't it?
Yeah, man. Like, you know, I'm one of the guys that when I die, I don't, you know, if you're going to pickle and preserve my body, it's going to be an all day, like I say, pack a lunch. It's going to be an all day job because I'm going to leave you a wrecked husk.
Well, yeah, there's not going to be much left of me either, brother. But it all started, yeah, in that whole youth complex of treatment, torture, / justice. You know, again, that's what,
you know,
I really
call that doing life on the installment plan. And, it appears that you, it took me till I was 30 to get out of it. And you know, apparently you made it out too. A lot of people don't. A lot of people do just exactly that, life on the installment plan. What, for their entire life until they die, they're either in, you know, some sort of, custody or treatment program, whether it's mental or substance abuse or on supervision or something, or, you know what I'm saying?
And they just medicated to a point where they lose themselves that way.
Yeah.
And they wind up being the walking husk, you know? So. Exactly.
And I try to tell people, you know, they try to convince parents that their children are safe in these facilities, and that's only, you know, slightly true. They're like, they're safe from bank robbery. They're not really safe, man. I wasn't. Luckily I was not, really very introverted or shy, and I wasn't a punk. And, I learned really quick that, you're alone, man. And if you join a little group or a clique, then other people are going to start telling you what to do. And
I hear you. You either get into the flow or you run over for a little bit, or you create your own stream. Yeah. And, I was one of those guys that had to create his own stream. So, you know, whether it's a stream of consciousness, you know, that keeps you alive in that situation, or it's a matter of just doing what you have to do to survive. You know, when they lock those doors and, how did you put it now? You hear the the locks drop.
Yeah. The click clack.
Yeah. That noise. Okay. And it sounds the same no matter where you are.
It does too, man.
You know, I did that noise in New Jersey and now I'm in my 40s and, it's a different story.
Now I can hardly imagine it, dude. I mean, it's really been about 15 years since my last brush with the law, but, you know, I quit drinking. I haven't been arrested or been in trouble in 15 years. I know I could survive it, but boy, and probably a lot like you had, at one point in my life, it just resigned myself to the fact that I would probably be in and out of jail and, you know, I'm just a F up but whatever. I'm going to have, you know, fun and party and, you know.
Yeah. Well, just like with any programming.
You have to handcuff me. So.
Yeah. Well, just like with any programming, you know, for some time, we generally start to, you know, accept it.
Yeah.
And, there was an acceptance at one point for me and they used terms like, well, you know, he can be institutionalized easily. That's not a light term.
No.
You know, when they said he could be institutionalized, it doesn't mean that, yeah, they locked you in there. They meant that, well, no, he could get used to being in this kind of controlled environment on
exactly.
a daily basis.
Exactly.
And that's a concept a lot of people don't understand. And it's based on the conditioning. And, to some degree, yeah, it was safer for me to be in there at first because, the life I was dealing with on the outside was a hell of a lot more chaotic. And, you know, the fact that I'm alive is a testimony to miracles, you know?
Yeah. And that's why this story, you know, I try to stress the fact that, you know, yeah, we got the name, you know, Jerry Sandusky. Yeah. We got one judge who was convicted and got 30 years in prison, but they didn't even scratch the surface of the system. Of the, you know, the rings that enabled and then provided the fodder for these, you know, two names. It's like we got, Bernie Madoff, but still the entire quadrillion.
Yeah, but the whole mechanism, the actual thing that did the damage is still there,
yeah.
Still breathing.
Still pumping them out.
Exactly. That's exactly the way it is. Just like the other day when there was this this thing with the pig mine news guys about, you know, the mob guys that they caught with the drug smuggling. I said, okay, so where is their U.S. government, you know, compatriots? Where are their co-conspirators?
If they got caught, it means that they weren't part of the government squad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they weren't big enough to not get caught.
They want smuggling. You know, if you're in their syndicate, part of their cartel, whatever, yeah, they'll let you through. And, you know, but the thing of it is these are, this is a system that eats its own young, man. It can just turn on you so quick. You know, but yeah, I agree with you.
That is the greatest point about, you know, people that talk about selling out to the system and, well, you know, you should just give in because after all, it'll work out better for you. No. You're just part of what's going to get crushed up and used to oil that machine, brother.
Yeah.
That's all you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
The real controllers, the real criminals. The real controllers, the real criminals, they're not going to do a day.
No, they can't. They're so far above the, you know, these selectively enforced rules and regulations that we're, you know, subjected to. And again, you're another person that I can talk to about, you know, all the people that tell me when I say, you know, whether you like it or not, you are an inmate here in the United States. Wow, you know, this is the greatest nation on earth. I'm like, well, you know, you are tracked. There's cameras everywhere you look. You're drug tested for jobs. Hell, even for, even some, apartment communities or homeowners associations have talked about using drug testing for people that in their communities, metal detectors and gun confiscations, crowd control, checkpoints and pat downs and, you know, cavity searches, surveillance of your mail, all these things, your phone calls. Complete lockdowns we've seen, you know, in Boston, we see in different places. And then.
Right. It was a beautiful point the other day when you said, you know, you guys who think they're going to round you up and they're going to round us up and they're going to do all this. You're wrong. What they're going to do is create an open air concentration camp, just like they did in other places.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot easier because, like you said, they don't want to feed you. They don't want to feed you. They don't want to have to deal with you. They'll let you feed and run around for yourself. It's a lot easier to deal with the free range guys just on the reservation than to sit there and try and round us up one by one. That'll take time. That'll cost a whole lot more money than letting us deal with it ourselves, you know, and resources. Forget about money. Money's a whole other concept, but resources, let's just say. There's no way that they're going to round us up and put us into these camps. I think they figured out that that might have been a plan. But it's a whole lot easier to let us basically
round each other up.
Yeah, basically let's lock each other up. Exactly.
They make things harder and harder. You know, they make it a little hard. And you can just look around and see that it's harder to survive today than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Your money go, you know, again, like I said, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton mentioned over and over during their 2008 campaigns just to be the Democratic nominee that you were going to have to expect austerity and, you know, belt tightening and this and that. And still everybody was like, yeah, yes, we can, and voted.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, you can abandon hope and beg for change. That's about it.
Yeah. My grandma used to say you can wish in one hand and shit in the other.
Funny how all that stuff holds up, huh?
It does, man. She couldn't have been, you know, she was prophetic, but of course, you know, this isn't anything different, man. Than any other societies dealt with near the end of their, you know, the decay, the moral decay of their, you know, of their.
No, the only difference is that really, those of us who've been working on this stuff for a long time really undersold exactly how deep the control grid was.
Yeah.
And exactly how overlapping the whole thing is. You know, whether you want to call it the Panopticon or the, you know,
the Rubicon,
whatever it is you want to call it. The fact is, it's a control grid. That's all I think of it as. And it interlocks between, it doesn't matter, private industry, DARPA, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all interconnected.
Of course
it is. It's all part of the same monster.
Yeah. At the very top, like I tell people, you know, people understand that, you know, a wife may conspire to murder her husband because he has, you know, they're in debt and he has a huge, you know, life insurance policy. Why? If you can believe that just your average day housewife would conspire with her lover to murder her husband, why would you not believe that people higher up the food chain would conspire to do the same thing? I mean, they'd get away with it, though.
Yeah.
When you get to the top, you know, I've had guests on my show and we talked about, sociopaths, and sociopaths band together. They migrate towards each other. They're magnetically, inclined to gather amongst themselves. And that doesn't matter if you're talking about sociopaths at a FEMA camp or sociopaths, at the top of the pyramid.
It's just scientific fact. Like forces attract. It's that simple. Exactly. You know, why is it that those of us who end up thinking and understanding what the grid is like around us sort of end up in the same spots? Because we're all going to sort of end up collecting together. It's just the way things are, you know?
Yeah. So the one thing that you can do, Charles, is the less that you need from other people, from other entities, from other sources, the better you are. And it's hard to accomplish that living in an urban area, but it's not impossible. And, in a system that's, you know, fully locked and loaded, it's been, I mean, jeepers, you know, we're lucky that we have the internet. It's a two-edged sword. But back in the 60s and the 50s, they didn't have it. They didn't have the internet. And, these things could go on unchecked. And that's why it's had to, they've had to push the ball. So the ball, you know, to the point where it's unstoppable, where it's full tilt boogie now, because, you know, we can transfer information and you know, so swiftly that, it's going to happen or it's not. And, you know, but the one thing that you can't deny is the decay of the moral fiber, not just of America, but, you know, of the general public worldwide.
Right. And all of that.
It's scientific, man.
It's been scientifically constructed. It's been prearranged. They had the back doors in all these systems long before any of us ever laid eyes on it. It's just the way it is. I mean, you know, when we were exchanging information as researchers, years ago about a lot of these things, whether it was Watergate or it was, JFK or it was the MK Ultra stuff or whatever else.
So you were doing this back when you had, when the fax machine was like, holy crap.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Well, they say that the fax machine, is what actually brought down the Soviet Union. But what they mean by that is the swift, traveling of information to be able to, you know, disseminate these things and transfer them across large areas so fast. So you were there in the beginning. I was during the beginning of all the, when people were faxing information and exposing corruption on the fax machine, I was, you know, just part of the system then.
Yeah. Well, I was for a long time too, but at the same time, I was looking at some of this stuff on the outside, and the government had better than fax machines to begin with. They were doing cable transfers of documents on telephone lines long before we did, you know, and they had what they called the ARPANET, which was a precursor to what is the internet now.
Right, right.
Okay. And all this stuff, like I said, they had it before we did. Believe me, we get the toys. They got the original tools. All right. So this is what it's about. You know, be aware.
By the time we're aware of it, it's almost unstoppable. It's, you know what I'm saying? By the time we find out that they've been putting, you know, our microchips and RFID tags in our food and our clothing, it's already too late. It's already there.
That's it.
So it's on. And that's why I just tell people, look, for one, empathy and compassion and love are going to be hard to find here in the near future. And don't let that be an excuse for you to not be that way. And, the one thing that I tell people is, first of all is that there can't be one revolution. There has to be 300 million revolutions. And, two, don't need nobody for nothing, buddy. Yeah, we need each other for support and all that, but I mean, on a personal, sustainable level, you got to do whatever you can, even if it's just baby steps here and there, to start needing less and less from other sources.
Exactly. And that empathy, that ability to be honest, that ability to be useful and helpful to one another as human beings, that is what is going to separate us from the psychopaths that are trying to control this stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know, and you're dead on.
Because the weak are willing to join, you know what I'm saying? The people, the weak will, the weak constitution people, those are the people that are going to, you know, those are the ones that when they start giving free cable, you know, to rat on your neighbors for not properly, you know, separating their returnable or their recyclable material out front of their house, you know, every garbage day. As soon as that's, you know, those are the people that will, you know, probably get free cable for the rest of their life. Cause they're not, they got no problem, ratting. You know, we're becoming more and more of a snitch society. You know, I say it many times, families, you know, settle petty squabbles by calling CPS or the dog catcher on their neighbor or their, you know, relative.
Yeah.
And the system encourages it.
It encourages them and it also, it gets them deeper into it, you know. They think that I've gotten revenge on somebody for, you know, for what they did to me or whatever perceived, you know, whatever. It becomes exactly, if you're in a snitch society, you know, what do you think is going to happen, you know, to you eventually? Like I said, you know, you end up just being ground up and then you're just nothing but the oil for the machine, bro.
That's right, dude. I have no illusions whatsoever. I told my wife when I was 16 that, you know, chances are I was going to go in a hail of bullets. You never know, but, so what do you got planned for your first show here at UCY TV?
Well, you know,
give it all up, but you know.
Well, no, I'll give
you an idea. Familiar when they tune in. They'll already know.
That's true.
It's a good audience here, bud, bro, Charles. I've seen you've been hanging around a little bit. There's a lot of good people. Some of these guys that listen to these shows and that hang out in the chat rooms, I've known 5 and 6 years now, and a lot of these people have known each other, and it's a really nice little community of people.
Yeah, I was really, really happy with that. I talked to Jules about this, and you know, we were supposed to just go over a couple things real quick, wound up on the phone with her for like 2 hours, you know, going over all this stuff. And, I'm really happy to join you guys here. And, the first show, I figured I'll just kind of give an introduction to who I am, where I came from.
Some of the things you've done.
Yeah. You know, like some people won't have any idea where is this guy from, you know, and, you know, hopefully they'll click on the banner and just take a look and get an idea. They're going to get something a little different though, because, I'm just like you, and I really love your show, man, because you're being yourself. And that's something that you don't hear with a lot of these guys out there. And I'm not saying, you know, that I'm going to be any better. I'm just going to do what I can do.
Yeah. That's all you can do, man. You know, cause here's the deal. Once you get past the thinking that you're going to change the world and you realize, you know, really what you're doing is entertaining people and trying to get something started, trying to get information. The one thing that I appreciate the most is, being able to, you know, grab something that not a lot of people know or understand and just spread it and it makes its way around. It makes the rounds. But once you've realized that, you know, once your ego is shriveled a little bit and you've realized that, you know, especially in our case, because we've got a smaller audience, that you can actually connect on a personal level. And, it's not, I'm not going to say like it's entertainment, like I'm an entertainer, but I am, you know what I'm saying? I've realized that, you know, I just come on here and I do my thing. It evolved to, you know, and again, a lot of it has to do with, the butterflies in my stomach. The way I do my show is the easiest for me to do it. Now, and your show will evolve too also. Now, I went from doing one show a week to doing three shows a week and then just all of a sudden to doing three shows at, you know, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. So that sped up my metamorphosis my show's off the cuff, you know. I'm not positive what I'm going to do until I wake up that day.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I'm going to handle it. I mean, like I said, I have a basic idea that I'm going to introduce myself. And outside of that, it's going to flow from there. And I'm starting out exactly just like you said. I'm just going to do the one day a week here to begin with. And then, I'm going to see if I can arrange things properly so I can, do the 3 days a week and then the 5 days a week. It'll probably just grow like that.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully people like what I've got to say and, learn a little something. And also I want to learn, you know,
that's one thing I can tell you, Brother Charles, that over the last few years of being involved in this community, I don't call it a movement. It's a community, you know, you've heard me talk about it. I think, you know, what I think of the Patriot Panhandlers, blah, blah, blah. But the one thing that I do appreciate the most is that there is a community of people out there that I've met all across, you know, that have always welcomed me, with hugs and open arms into their homes, into their, you know, lives. And they're all over the country. And, that's the part of this that, is really, you know, it's humbling actually. Cause who am I? You know what I mean? I'm in my basement right now.
Yeah. I just happen to be sitting in my bedroom actually. And I'm just, you know, I was in the chat there like you saw. And then, you said, yeah, jump on. I said, okay. You know,
you know, and I'm glad you did, man. Cause I'm glad I got to know you a little bit and I'm glad that people got to hear your voice. And, you know, I look forward to the show. The UCY is, you know, it's a great place to start a show. Because, the audience is a pretty good audience, you know.
Yep. And I'm definitely looking forward to evolving because, you know, I see the potential here. There's a lot of potential. And, that's the beauty part of all this, man.
Well, you're going to learn a lot of things. I've learned so much. You know, I had no idea of alternative energies and, you know, a lot of things, you know, 8 years ago, I had no clue what an open pollinated, non-hybrid, non-GMO seed was. I've learned how to, you know, make my own, you know, food dehydrators and greenhouses and solar. I've learned so many. It's just, you know already because you've been part of the community. You go to different events. I do events every year and, you know, you just meet so many different people that are passionate about, you know, a bunch of different things and you're going to run into them all.
Right. And, you know, one thing I want to make really clear is that, anybody out there who has, you know, stuff that they want to get out there that they're not hearing somewhere else that they think is important, please, by all means, contact me. You know, the Ocelli Effect has a Facebook page. You can contact me through there. You know, my personal email, if you don't mind, I'll give that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get it out there.
It's an old one. It's Chuck, C-H-U-C-K, 1972. And that's at Lycos, believe it or not, LYCOS.com. And, you guys can email me stuff and, I'm not saying I'll put everything on, but, gladly I'm open to any sort of, you know, viewpoints that I haven't looked at. And like I said, I'm more than happy to learn and to try and spread good information. So, you know, if you guys got stuff that hasn't been out there elsewhere, believe me, I'll be more than happy to put it out.
All right, man. Charles, what's the name of your website again?
Well, I'm just right now I'm just using the Facebook page for the Ocelli Effect. It's spelled O-C-H-E-L-L-I, and that is my last name.
The Ocelli Effect, Saturday nights, 8 p.m.
Saturday nights at 8 p.m. on UCY.
Eastern. Well, that's great, man. I look forward to listening to your show, and welcome to UCY, bud. I'm not anybody. I'm not like any official here. I'm just a friend of the network and, part of the official greeting party, I guess you could say now.
Well, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Keep on keeping on, brother.
Oh, hey, man, dude. I'm gonna, like I say, man, pack a lunch. I live here. I was born here. I was raised here. If I don't like the way things are, I'm gonna say I don't like it. And if you don't want me here, then you can make me leave. Oh yeah, and pack a lunch. All right, that was Charles Ocelli, the Ocelli Effect. You'll be able to check out the Ocelli Effect here at UCY.tv. Thanks, Charles. I'm going to let you go now. Have a nice day, and I'll check out your show. You'll be able to check out the Ocelli Effect 8 p.m. Eastern here at UCY.tv. Sounds like my kind of guy, and it sounds like you're going to be able to enjoy. I think you will.
An Ocelli.com exclusive podcast for the members of Ocelli.com.